Look at Titus 2 behind me on the screen. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, we cannot live according to the flesh. We cannot live a sinful life. Look at verse 13 in Romans chapter 8. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, what I want you to see here is the contrast that Paul is building between living and dying. He says, if you're living, you're dying. But if you're dying, then you're living. Do you see it? If you're living your life pleasing the desires of the sinful nature, you are actually dying. But if by the Spirit you die to sin, you will live. A very powerful contrast. Look at the quote by David Brown I've given you in your notes. If you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. If you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. Just outside Anchorage, Alaska, there is a place called the Turn Again Arms. This particular area has one of the fastest tide rates in the world. The tide rushes in and out at about 10 feet per minute. The water is so cold, if you get caught in it, you'll die in a few minutes. When the tide is out, there's a huge flat area of mud, and it looks like a great place to ride off-road vehicles. It looks like a great place to ride off-road vehicles. But this area is called the Mud Flats, and it is not mud. It is glacier silt. When the tide rushes out, the water that is left settles quickly. When it settles, it leaves air pockets, and the air pockets form vacuums. You never know where they are, and they're never at the same place twice. If you step in one of them, it sucks you in, and you cannot get out. It's exactly like quicksand, but more like superglue. In the summer of 1991, a couple who had just gotten married decided to spend their honeymoon in Alaska. They went out riding ATVs and decided to ride around one particular mud flat. The bride's vehicle stalled, and she jumped off to see what the problem was. She jumped into one of the areas of glacier silt and sank in immediately up to her knees. As she struggled to get out, she sunk to her thighs. Her husband rode up on his ATV, and she warned him not to get out of his vehicle. People on the road saw what was happening and called for help. Yelling at the man not to get off his vehicle. Within moments, the fire department arrived and tried to blast her out of the mud by using water hoses. It was futile. They brought in a helicopter from the Air Force base. They tried to pull her out with a rope and harness attached around her waist. As the helicopter pulled up, her legs were dislocated. They knew that if they pulled any more, they would rip her apart. They tried to put a wetsuit around her, thinking that when the tide came in, it would keep her warm, but they could only get the wetsuit around part of her body. When the tide came in, she died. I tell you this tragic story because of the next point in your notes. Sin is fatal. Sin is fatal. It looks good. It looks fun. It looks like the right thing to do. It looks like it's going to be good for you. But would you turn back just a couple of pages to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Shall we sin because Jesus has saved us? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either to sin, resulting in death, or to obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number three in your notes, living a life controlled and dominated by the sinful nature leads to death. Living a life controlled and dominated by the sinful nature leads to death. Paul is talking to Christians, and he knows that we are capable of something different because, and only because, we have the Holy Spirit. Look at the verse again. Verse 13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What are the deeds of the body? Stay in Romans and turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have warned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, and such were some of you. And so was I. Number four in your notes. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can can we rise above the way of death. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we rise above the way of death. Verse 13 in our text today says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if," and those three beautiful words, "by the Spirit." But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do we put to death the deeds of the body? I have found in my personal life that the best way to put to death sinful thoughts, attitudes, and actions is to embrace holy thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you focus your walk with Christ on all the things you are not allowed to do, you have totally lost your perspective. Christianity is not some spiritual diet. I can't eat ice cream. I can't eat cake. I can't eat pie. I can't eat hamburgers or pizza. Christianity is not some spiritual diet where we simply stop doing all the fun things. My dad had coronary heart disease and congestive heart failure and diabetes. He had this doctor with this diet, this doctor with this diet, this doctor with this diet, my mom giving him diets, and he finally simplified all of it in one simple phrase that he was able to understand. If it tastes good, spit it out. And that was how he had to live his life. Christianity is not a spiritual diet. We must rise above that. Christianity is not about what you cannot do. Christianity is about what you can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I am free from sin. And I have the glorious joy and privilege of righteousness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can now honor my Creator and glorify Him in all I say and do. The best way to put off sin is to put on righteousness. We are free from slavery to sin. We will still struggle with sin for the rest of our lives, but finally, by the resources of Christ, we can rise above it. The best way to put off sin is to put on righteousness. We're in a spiritual battle. Stay in Romans. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. 10 through 17. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Patrick, you got a next one there? "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Brothers and sisters, beautiful passage about spiritual victory. One question: is it about what you don't do, or is about what you do. It's about what you do. It's about what you do. Yes, we must put off the flesh. We must put off all of the deeds of the flesh. But in Christ, we now have the power to put on righteousness. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, don't focus on what you're not allowed to do. The sinner, the person who is lost, is in bondage to a never-ending, dark, cold night of sin. Always winter, never Christmas. Sinners are stuck with sin. We get to embrace righteousness. You were in Romans 6. Let's look at it again. Such a wonderful passage. Romans 6, 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you are committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? The outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sinners are stuck with a hopeless, helpless, empty, corrupted humanity. We get to honor our Creator by reflecting Him in all we say and do. Don't focus on what you can't. The world can have their sin. We get to live. Number 5 in your notes, by the power of the Spirit, we can put sin to death and enjoy the privilege of righteousness. This cycle of putting off and putting on, putting off and putting on, is explained so beautifully by Paul in Colossians chapter 3. Would you join me there, please? I want you to see putting off and putting on. Always stay in Romans 8 and just join me in Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you've died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. In them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self. Look at how beautiful the new self is, Trinity. Have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Which life would you rather have? You want to have spiritual victory? Don't focus on the things you can't do. What benefit did we derive from the things that we are now ashamed of? Those things lead to death. Put on the beautiful fruit of righteousness only by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of you were talking to me before church, and you said, I need you to pray for this sister of mine. I don't see fruit. And this was a while back, and you prayed, and I prayed, and you came up to me today, and you said, I spent some time with this sister over the weekend, and I saw grapefruits and apples and oranges and bananas. There was fruit. It's beautiful. Righteousness is beautiful. Amen? To put to death the deeds of the flesh, I forsake the acts of the sinful nature, and I embrace the wholesome fruit of righteousness. This is something we as Christians must continue to do throughout our life. Putting off and putting on is a continual process throughout the life of the Christian. It can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit, you are living according to the sinful nature. Without the Holy Spirit, you will die, because sin leads to death. You must be born again. You must have the Holy Spirit inside your heart. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for all of your sins so that you could receive eternal life as a free gift. Turn to Jesus today. You will receive forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit and be set free from sin. The Christian has all the resources he or she needs to have victory over sin. The Christian has all the resources he or she needs to have victory over sin. Look behind me, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That's the whole point of Romans chapter 8. The law was weak. We can't beat sin with the law. But now we have the Spirit. You're in Romans 8. Look at the beginning of Romans 8 again. One through four. Do you have that, brother? What's your next slide, Patrick? There you go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. One more verse, verse 14, Romans 8, 14. Let's look at 12 again. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Number 6 in your notes, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It means the direction of my life is determined not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. The direction of my life is determined not by my corrupted sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit means that by the power of the Spirit, I am daily putting off the deeds of the body and putting on the deeds of righteousness. Those who are led by the Spirit are not perfect. They are not sinless. God's work in us is incomplete. But Trinity Baptist Church, you can be assured of this wonderful fact. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. If the Holy Spirit has changed your heart and mind, if by the power of the Holy Spirit you are able to put off sin and put on righteousness, you are a child of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's 12 through 14. Look at what we're going to do next Sunday. 15, 14 through 17. This is so wonderful. I could barely hold myself back from starting to prepare this early. Look at these verses. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I hope you'll be here next week. That's what we're going to do next week. Look around. You see brothers and sisters who are not here today. Let them know, hey, this is the passage for next week. Don't miss out. I want to give you some practical suggestions. As we finish off today, in your notes, how to overcome temptation. How to overcome temptation. Number 7, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Join me in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. So shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best, but he disciplines us for our good, so we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is so wonderful. It is better for you to be under discipline than to be under sin. The fruit of righteousness is so wonderful that God's discipline in your life is an awesome privilege because it yields the fruit of righteousness. Number one, fix your eyes on Jesus. Most of the time when we give in to temptation, where are our eyes fixed? On the sin that we are tempted to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We are not a church of perfect people. We need each other's prayers, love, accountability, and encouragement to keep pressing on to the end. Look at Psalm 119, 9 through 11 behind me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commands. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The next one, treasure God's word in your heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Treasure God's word in your heart. Someone has said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And it's very true. Wonderful verse for victory over temptation. Do you want victory over temptation? Look behind me. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 10, starting from verse 6. These things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Paul is talking about the children in the wilderness. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Paul talks about don't sin like they did. And then he gives you this wonderful instruction. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And three beautiful words when you're in temptation. God is faithful. We can't beat temptation without him. We can't beat temptation without him. But he's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, thank you, God. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Next thing in your notes, trust God's faithful provision. Number 10, embrace and enjoy the privilege of righteousness. Remember, it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. Embrace and enjoy the privilege of righteousness. And finally, number 11, seek encouragement and support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek encouragement and support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, I am an incomplete saint, just like the rest of you. I am an incomplete saint, just like the rest of you. I struggle with sin, I struggle with temptation, and I give in. And I have found that often the reason we cannot break a sin habit is because we keep it a secret. That's what Satan wants you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. Don't tell them. Why? We're going to help you. Satan doesn't want that. The reason we can't break a sin habit is not because we don't have the power. Non-Christians don't have the power. Christians do. The reason we can't break a sin habit is because you keep it a secret. Brothers and sisters, break the secret. Break the secret, and you can break the sin. Seek out encouragement. Confess your sin to a Christian brother or sister and accept their support. What about you? What about you? Are you putting to death the deeds of the body? What sin in your life seems to have control over you? I want you to pray for each other. I want you to turn and pray for each other. And if you're comfortable, if you're sitting next to someone that you have a close relationship with, tell them, I need help in this area. If you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. But get with someone you are comfortable with and break that secret and say, this is the sin that has control over me. Would you please help me?